Over 70% of women have taken time off work due to period pain, according to a recent survey by the largest public service union in Ireland, Forsa. It has called for menstrual health policy in every Irish workplace, and over 96% of the 1,800 people who answered the Forsa survey say that they favoured the introduction of a menstrual-friendly policy in their workplace. To discuss this further, joining me on the line now is Orla O'Connor. She's director of the National Women's Council on of Ireland. Good morning, Orla, and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, thank you.
So as I say there, I suppose it's an overwhelming majority here that favour this in workplaces. What's your view on it and how viable would it be?
I think, you know, it really is reflective of women wanting to see much better workplace policies in relation to all aspects of reproductive health. And I mean, in this case, it's about menstrual health. And, you know, we've also seen similar types of responses in relation to the menopause, for example, and needing workplace policies in relation to that. So I think it really shows that that's very much the strong feeling that women have now, that these are the sorts of issues that in a way there hasn't been a conversation about in the workplace, and the impact women's health has on their work and on their participation in the workplace. So it's really positive. And we're already seeing employers pick up on this and include, you know, reproductive health workplace policies that cover a number of different issues. I mean, we've just seen, for example, I think it was Vodafone who launched at International Women's Day their policy on the menopause. So I think we are in a time, and I think it's very positive, that workplaces are looking at, you know, they're looking at the impact, they're taking the views and the concerns of the female workforce and bringing it to the centre of what new policies need to be put in place.
Yeah, I think it's important as well to point out that it's not just periods and perhaps cramps that, you know, women are talking about, because there are various other conditions that people may have been diagnosed with. I note that one in four survey respondents have either endometriosis, polycystic ovary syndrome, which resulted in symptoms including very heavy bleeding, migraines and nausea. So it is a much more serious issue than, you know, just a period or whatever. But if we look at, and I think you mentioned a very important word there as well, conversation and discussion. Mm-hmm. Labour leader Ivana Bacik and chair of the Oireachtas Women's Caucus, Kildare Senator Fiona O'Loughlin, said that they would welcome discussion around the topic. So that is very important. It's not just about trying to make a decision right now, but just opening the conversation about it.
Absolutely. And I think one of the reasons that is so important is that these issues around menstrual health, issues around periods, issues, for example, like menopause, what we certainly know in the Women's Council from our members is these are issues that haven't been talked about. There is, you know, certain stigma, embarrassment, they're not things that have been spoken about in terms of women's health. And I think it's really important that that conversation is now much more of a workplace conversation, more a societal conversation in terms of what the supports that are necessary, but also in terms of the impact that these things have on women's lives. And, you know, and you've listed there, you know, some of the really sort of serious impacts in terms of things like, you know, chronic period pain can have in relation to a woman's ability to participate in certain areas of work. But also to be able to have the conversation with line managers and say, look, this is happening to me right now. Because I think what's important is this isn't all a conversation about leave. It's about having a different workplace environment, a different workplace setting, more understanding of how these issues impact on a person in the workplace, and then putting together a supportive policy that, you know, that recognises that is much more enabling than a situation right now where often women will take annual leave for these issues. You know, cultural change takes a long time to have an impact, but it certainly we need to have leadership on it. So I think the types of things that we are seeing in some companies, I think Forsa bringing forward this, I also think that, you know, the evidence in the survey shows how much women are saying that they want this type of policy change. That all, I think, supports the type of cultural change that's needed. And I also think this is really important in terms of women's participation and retention in the labour force, because women are more likely to want to be, you know, to want to go to employers who have these policies in place. And I mean, it's about reproductive health. It's also about broader equality policies as well. So there's a real business case for having policies, and, you know, having policies such as these in companies in terms of ensuring that, you know, in terms of attracting women in, but also in terms of retaining women in as well.
And just finally then, Orla, another recent development is that Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is at an advanced stage of introducing up to 10 days paid sick leave for all employees, regardless of their illness. Do you think that would suffice? Would that cover everything? Or would there still need to be perhaps conversation around, specifically around menstrual health?
No, I certainly think there needs to be a broader policies in terms of reproductive health that would include menstrual health, it would include things like menopause, would include things like miscarriage. And I mean, for example, the Labour Party have introduced a bill in relation to reproductive health. And I think that might be a good starting place to look at, you know, to look at that bill and all of the things that it could contain, because I think it is a better reproductive health policy that is needed.
And last month, the Spanish government said it's planning to introduce paid leave for women with painful periods, and that would make Spain the first country in Europe to offer such leave after Italy made an unsuccessful bid to introduce it in 2017. So I think a lot of people perhaps looking at Spain and waiting to see how that works or how it might unfold for businesses and employees alike, and then perhaps others may follow suit. But for the moment, we'll leave it there. That is Orla O'Connor, Director of the National Women's Council of Ireland. Orla, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Have your say now. Text or WhatsApp Kildare today on 0833 97 97 97.
Okay then, now we're going to repeat those tips for parents. By the way, it's day two of the Leaving Cert and Junior Cert, and there's no point giving tips to the kids now because they've got their tips and they're getting stuck into the exams. But yesterday we were a bit caught for time at the end and we had to rush through the 10 tips for parents. We're going to do them in much more detail in about 7, 8, 10 minutes or so, if you'd like to take note of that. This is basically how to support your offspring ahead of exams, and particularly when they come home from any of the papers and if they were feeling a bit down or a bit upset or whatever else in relation to that. Right, Mickey Mead says, climate beggars belief. Like yourself, I can count on one hand the number of people who are still wearing masks. Yeah, very, very few, I have to say, in regards to that. When is our government going to reduce the VAT on fuel? Fuel, asks Breda. Breda, everyone in the country is beginning to ask the same question, because actually, on Twitter last night, I saw a post from a guy who said, back in 2008, I should have kept this post, fuel was 120 euro a barrel, right? Which it is now. But a litre of fuel back in 2008 cost 120. The price of a barrel of oil in international markets yesterday was 120. The price at the pumps is double what it was back in 2008. It's gone up to 210 and more in places. What's the reason for that? The reason for that is the amount of tax the government is taking on fuel. And I know it said it cut back some of the excise duty on that, but it is still taking in a massive amount of money. And if somebody out there who's a retailer of fuel, because I know you'll be getting it in the neck at the moment, and Owen, this is something you might do, maybe ring a local fuel retailer and just say, because they're being criticised at the moment for taking profits, how much tax on the average litre of fuel are the government taking? So if we just put it at a mark of 2 euro, I would posit the view that the retailer might be getting 20 cents, maybe less a litre, maybe a bit more, I'm not sure. But the government is taking in excess of a euro a litre, in excess. I don't know what the exact number is, but it is hugely, more than 50% of the price that we're paying at the pumps. So Breda's call to reduce the taxes, I think, is well made. Another says, I attended a well-organised and very informative meeting last night. This is in regards to the topic that Owen has discussed there a few minutes ago with Yvonne Boland, chairperson of Newbridge Community Development. And this is back to the contentious issue of the pathway over in Newbridge, this new development involving Glenveagh, etc., etc. This sister says, it should be noted, there are two play areas included in the Balen Woods development, which would be a start to help service all the many families from Newbridge who travel outside our town to allow our young children visit a decent playground. Asking families to cross the already busy road twice with small kids is an accident waiting to happen. Some people at the meeting commented that they bring their grandchildren to the cemetery for a walk to ensure they are safe. The mind boggles. Owen, I want to come back to you. Are you online at the minute?
I am, yeah.
Just describe again, am I getting this properly regarding over in Newbridge, that at the moment what's been proposed would see the parents having to walk some distance along one side of the road and then cross over the other side of the road?
Correct, yes.
To complete the walkway.
So essentially, just to give the backstory here, there's a new estate being built, Beelan Woods, out on the Garvin Road in Newbridge. And in the initial planning permission, and the preferred option that was chosen was that there would be a path on the side of the Liffey River that would connect the estate Beelan Woods to the Liffey Linear Park.
Right, so without having everyone to cross could the road. Go from Beelan Woods to the Liffey Linear Park walking along the one side of the road, the side of the Liffey.
Yes, but then come the new map that has been released in the last couple of months, that path has now been removed and instead there are two pedestrian crossings brought in. So you would have to cross over from Beelan Woods to the far side of the road, walk down that side and then cross back over to get into Liffey Linear Park.
So you'd have to cross twice?
You'd have to cross twice, yeah.
And that's what the frustration is. After telling us that some parents and grandparents are actually bringing their children for a walk to the cemetery because I presume they can walk on the one side of the road.
Yeah, I heard that. Heard that last night. Somebody made that point at the meeting that they were bringing their children to the cemetery for
and
a walk.
And feelings, well, obviously, I'm going to ask you a question with an obvious answer. Feelings obviously running very high or very strong over this.
Feelings running high, but everyone had the same view. You know, and in fairness to Michael Galvin from Glenveagh, he got up and he answered the questions. He said that they were engaging with Kildare County Council. I mentioned at the start of the programme, there was no representative from Kildare County Council there. They said they were unavailable. In terms of public representatives, we saw many there. Fiona McLaughlin Healy, Cathal Berry, Chris Pender, Fiona O'Loughlin, Noel Heavey, Martin Hayden, Peggy O'Dwyer, Rob Power and Tracy O'Dwyer, all standing behind the residents there and, you
God
know,
bless your memory.
Supporting
them. I tell you, it's great to be a fellow in his 20s. I couldn't remember the name of the hotel, Tulfaris.
Tulfaris, yeah.
Your man can reel off about 15 names there of public representatives. Owen, is it fair to say then that this is not Glenveagh who are pushing this split footpath or this split pathway proposal? It's Kildare County Council planners.
That's what a lot of people were inferring from that at the meeting, yeah. And, you know, talking to some people afterwards, they were saying it seemed as though Glenveagh were blaming Kildare County Council, Kildare County Council blaming Glenveagh.
Okay.
There is some muddy waters. It needs to be figured out. As I understand it, there's a meeting between Glenveagh and Kildare County Council within the next week. And Michael Galvin again saying that following that meeting, there's going to be more details available to the public. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
All right. Could we just ask the public representatives out there who Owen has just listed out and who might be listening, if they would inform us of who is to blame here? Is it council planners? When I use the word to blame now, I'm just saying, is it because of a stipulation council planners are laying down, or is it coming from the developers, Glenveagh?
To be fair as well, Clem, the councillors were asking that question at the meeting last night.
You mean they didn't know?
They didn't know, and they only saw this updated planning permission or updated map a couple of days ago. So they were saying, you know, that they were bypassed, essentially.
Right.
So they're as frustrated as the public.
Right. A listener has just come in here, and I'm just reflecting the views of what listeners are saying now. I'm not for a moment suggesting it's the actual situation. But this listener says, would you believe that Kildare County Council and Newbridge Municipal District first planned for the pathway from Newbridge Park along the riverbank at Beelan Woods about 40 years ago? I would. I'll tell you why. Because the Southern Distributor Relief Road in Athy, which is currently being constructed, was first mooted about 40 or 50 years ago as well. So it wouldn't be unique to that. We'll keep on top of that story. Well done, Owen, on capturing all the details behind that story last night. And your mission now, like Tom Cruise should be, if you're willing to accept it, is make that your pet project over the coming week or so.
Yeah, will do.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KFM.
All right,
Have your say now. Text or WhatsApp Kildare today on 0833 97 97 97.
Email studio at kfmradio.com or call us on 045 898 999. I must get those two details actually added to that message so that we can just do it all in one go. A message from a listener that there's a graveyard mass in St. Bridget's Cemetery, Nurney, tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. That's in Nurney Graveyard, 7:30 p.m. tomorrow evening, the graveyard message. Still to come on the programme, Crime Time with Kildare Gardaí, tips for parents on how to deal with your little darlings across the exams, and the birthday girl who's 103 years old today. By the way, we gave out numbers earlier in regards to our discussion on alcohol, and we said we'd repeat those numbers again. So if you get a pen ready, after I finish with Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick, I'll give you out the four numbers again in case you didn't get them the first time. Meantime, I am joined by Fianna Fáil Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick, a member of the Claymaynooth Municipal District and the County Council as well. Good morning to you, Dara.
Morning, Clem. How are you this morning?
I'm grand. God, you sound a bit hoarse. Have you been singing?
Definitely not, Clem. You probably just got me in a bad second. I'm all right now.
Right, okay. Good stuff on that. Now, looking at the meeting, now, if you just bear with me a second while I just run around on this, I have it here actually in front of me. Had it, and it jumped down for me. And I'm looking for Motion 7, which is to do with flooding around a particular area in Allenwood.
Yeah, look, this is on the power station road in Allenwood on the way up to the GAA field. On the left-hand side, Whitehorn Estate, it's been flooding there for a consistently long period of time when there's heavy rain, and the flood remains there for a long period of time. The water just is not getting away. I've been in touch with the development control engineer within Kildare County Council, Amory Burke, and she's come back to me. And the situation there is that she's been in touch with the developer. The second course is to go on the tarmacadam there, and to do a bit of work on two footpaths, and it's within two gullies. But they're not. They're going to start to work in when the school, primary school closes, because it's all started to inconvenience kids going to school before the primary school closes. So when the primary school closes, they're going to start to work there, and they're hopefully going to repair the problem there and stop the flooding at this place in Allenwood. So hopefully that will conclude, and hopefully things will be better when the work is carried out.
It wasn't
July.
The only place that you had concerns about, because you want the council to resurface Green Lane in Robertstown West. Now, my little birdie tells me, Dara Fitzpatrick.
I was just wondering, were you ever on Green Lane, Deb?
No, but my little birdie tells me that Green Lane in Robertstown can be described as pothole central.
Oh, that's very true. To be honest with you, Clem, it's not a road that I drive down too often, but I was actually driving over to Ballateague there about 2 weeks ago to have a look at that infamous road there that had been on several times with Andy Cross to look at the works that was carried out of that. And I actually went, that road is now repaired, and I actually went by the Green Lane, and I got a shock when I drove down the Green Lane. And as a result of that little drive, I put it down as a motion to get the work carried out in the Green Lane. Look, it's not in the works for the summer project, but I will be confident that there will be work carried out in this road in the very near future. If we can find the funding, it will be done this year, and if not, it will be done as part of the first contract next year. But I will be hoping that it could be done this year.
All right, listen, my producer has all the knowledge on this. I'll hand it over to him because he's shouting Cloncumber Road in my ear. Owen.
Yeah, Dara, no, just that you were mentioning
don't
there.
Don't attack.
No, just that you were mentioning Andy Cross. What is the update on that? Because we would have had Andy on about 6 months ago talking about the Cloncumber Road.
That's the Pluckerstown Road you're talking about.
Yeah, the Pluckerstown Cloncumber Road. Yeah,
the works was carried out there. Now, I haven't spoke to Andy, but I've actually spoke to his sister since, and she sent me a lovely text message thanking me for all the efforts there. So that it looks like it's come to a conclusion. The work was carried out there a couple of weeks ago, and the work, the surface is perfect on it now again, and hopefully it'll stay perfect. And hopefully the people of Ballateague will have a nice, easy transition to and from that area.
Okay, and coming back to Pothole Central on the Green Lane, what's the story there? Because it seems that the council were saying...
It wasn't part of this roads project, and to be honest with you, I talked to Cyril privately after it, and I would be confident that something will be done with the road. It might take a couple of months, but there will be something done with it.
All right. On that note, that's Fianna Fáil councillor Dara Fitzpatrick taking the challenges from the Clancumber kid out there in Studio 2, Owen Beattie, and with the details on both those roads, including the one that a little birdie told me. You'd be better off describing the Green Lane Road that we've been talking about in Robertstown as Pothole Central. It is so bad. But the councillor are only going to add it to the list for assessment on that. That's Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick. Right, yesterday we had to just kind of go through this particular issue quickly. Because it's only day two of the leaving, we said we'd go with it again. And it's tips regarding the leaving cert and junior cert. Not for the kids, although some of the information will be relevant to them, but it's particularly tips for the parents. 10 of them. Number one, Ciara Noble will go through the details with me. Ciara, is understand.
Yep, to understand, because if you have a child in sixth year, it means that they've missed a third of their classes in 2021. So they're noting here there's going to be a lot of questions. Am I safe going to school? Am I putting others at home in danger by going? All valid questions. It's noted here. The truth is that none of us can obviously answer anything definitively. The uncertainty that these questions create can induce a level of anxiety. The Leaving Cert exam itself obviously inducing levels of anxiety. So being aware of difficulty of the Leaving Cert and the challenges of adolescence, and all this in the context of the huge uncertainty created by COVID-19, you can begin to get an appreciation of how your child might be feeling at the moment. So understanding is key.
Is absolutely key. Now, organisation within the house is always important, and many, many kids out there have difficulty in getting a quiet place to study, particularly if the house is on the smaller end or families are big, whatever. So tip number two is help to organise a good place to study. Parents.
Yeah, so it's kind of thinking out a study plan. Negotiated timetables at notes here, fancy folders or clever to-do list will be less effective if not wasted. A good place to study should simply be quiet, tidy and comfortable. And obviously two of the most important things you need to stay on top of is your sleep and nutritious food.
Right. Now, understand the need for equipment, folders, post-it notes and notice boards. Now, that's both for the students themselves, but in particular also for the parents, maybe to make sure that those things are available. Tip number three.
Yeah, some of us just love the stationery. I was a bit like that, just loving the post-it notes, getting them all together in certain colours and everything else. But study skill classes at school will tell students that having a large folder for each subject is essential. Colour coding them, the flashcards to help you test yourself and remember it. So when they come home asking for post-it notes or a notice board to hang in their room, be understanding again. Understanding is key, I think, with all these things. All these small things add up and do make a difference to success.
Yeah, so when they come home then asking for post-it notes or the notice board to hang in the room, be understanding. There's that word again, and help them out. Discuss time management, study and downtime, and of course how to strike a balance there.
Yeah, not just shouting or giving out to them and telling them go up and do it now. 10 to 20 minutes spent discussing and negotiating study time and downtime at the start of the year is the way to go. So obviously this is advice for people as well who have fifth year students going into Leaving Cert next year. Again, understanding the importance of balance, a healthy measure of leisure time, study time, sleep, downtime, social time. It's all essential. So you need to take it easy a little bit. And obviously your child needs to have certain, you know, responsibility and ownership over how they spend their own time in terms of study.
Now, tip number five is screen time. I think this is the obvious one. You hold a discussion with them about a balance of when to devote time to study and when to devote time to screen time. That will be a discussion that will be had between parents. And no good shouting at them, look, you're stuck in your phone all the time or whatever else. It won't achieve anyone. Number six, Ciara, is regularly asking how the study is going. Be specific. But don't ask it, I suppose, as an allegation, sort of, to check on them.
Yeah, they're saying here, you know, asking questions like what part of, you know, subject course do you think you'll get the most marks opens up an entirely different conversation than how are you getting on in this and being specific and, well, you weren't great at that last week or whatever. So specific questions creates conversation at notes here. So you don't have to be an expert on the subject. Get to know a few specifics, you know, difficult sections for your particular child. Projects, deadlines, exam, test dates. Obviously, you know, the Leaving Cert is taking place at the moment. So a quick look at the LC subjects section. And knowing the days of the exam, exams, what day they fall on over the next 2.5 weeks.
And that feeds into number 7 as well, which is offer your help, and all done by a local teacher whom we'll credit in a moment. Offer to help to discuss, test, explain. Now, many parents will be completely moved on from the school sector and won't be able to help with the subjects. But it's just expressing an interest in the subjects. What are you studying there? How are you getting on? Is there any way I can help? Now, you'll probably be told, no, get away from me. I want to do it myself. You know nothing. But listen, don't then counter the allegation by saying, how dare you speak to me like that. Offer, if you're told it's not needed, move on. Tip number eight, Ciara.
They're also just saying in terms of that, Clem, to have discussions, like to discuss something can actually help someone remember. So they mean more in the sense of like actually having a discussion about maybe economics and a certain area of economics and how that will actually spark something maybe in your child's brain. Maybe, you know, a couple of days before the exam, you know, a couple of weeks, whatever it may be. But the conversations, the discussions can actually help with remembering things, because you are taking in a huge amount of information. Obviously, the Leaving Cert is like, you know, pouring out your memories into a few pages over 2.5 weeks.
All right. Number 8 is be aware of resources. There are so many apps, online resources. Well, one can I can guarantee you here, your son or your daughter will know a lot more about the apps than you will. Okay, so maybe you might be wise to leave them to that aspect. But no point, no harm either, if you know of something like this, like a site like this, which is schooldays.ie, you could mention it to them, say, there might be help and tips avoided there. There were good tips in one of the papers today. You'll find them online. We've been going through them over the last couple of days. So that's the resources. Now, key one, number 9, Ciara, of 10, to be constructive, positive, and to always praise.
Yeah, obviously it's an extremely challenging time for students, and this year and the past 2 years, more so than ever, the global sense of fear, it's noted here, and uncertainty, again, going back to the first point, created by COVID-19, means that we're all a little bit more defensive, and negativity can, I guess, be tuned into the brain more easier at the moment. So make a conscious effort on putting a positive and constructive spin on your interactions. Sincere, well-earned praise, given when appropriate, can make all the difference.
And that feeds into number 10 of always being there for them, to coin the expression or use the well-worn expression, to have their back. This is not the time to be getting onto them. Support.
Absolutely. That's the final thing, basically, you know, whether you're a parent, a guardian, giving them time also to you know, have an ear or a shoulder to cry on or whatever they may be. Simply as much as offering a cup of tea or coffee, conversation, an hour or two watching TV together, it can make all the difference when somebody is feeling listened to and supported.
And remember your own exams when you did it and how stressed you were, and that might help you with the understanding. Well done, Ciara. Thank you very much for that. Written, Owen, by John Sharkey and updated in the last couple of months. It's on the website schooldays.ie, and John Sharkey is a local teacher.
Yeah, he's a teacher of history and English, and also a career guidance counsellor in Piper's Hill College out on the Kilcullen Road in Naas.
So you can get further information on either schooldays.ie or regarding career guidance, the one of the best websites of all is mycareerguidance.ie if you'd like to consult those. Well done, lads. Thank you. And good luck, everybody. And even good luck to the parents. And when they're coming home in about an hour's time now, many of them will come home, and or they might ring you. And if you're going to ring them, do so in a concerned way. Are you all right? How did it go? If they say, terrible, Mom, say, look, calm down now. Take a few deep breaths. Put it behind you and get ready for the afternoon. Be positive. PMA, positive mental attitude.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
FM. Welcome back. Now, Bertha Girl 103 is on the way in about 5 minutes' time. But first, we'll go back to Ciara for this.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
I'm joined now by Sergeant Ralph Holmes of Athy Garda Station. Good morning to you.
Hi there, good morning.
We're going to begin with the traffic collision that did occur yesterday, Wednesday. It was in the Suncroft area of the county.
That's right, Ciara. This is in the Iron Hills area of Suncroft there yesterday at about 4:30 p.m. Now, in this accident, a motorcyclist lost control and came off his bike on a bend in the road. Now, thankfully, his injuries aren't too serious, but he was brought to hospital with injuries. It was a single vehicle or single bike road traffic collision. So we're looking for witnesses to the collision. Anyone who saw it or might have dash cam footage of it, we'd be delighted to hear from them.
Okay, we're going to speak about two incidents of burglary. One happened on this day last week, the 2nd of June in Rathangan.
That's right. Last Thursday at about 5:30, the injured party in this burglary disturbed the perpetrator in the act. We have a description of the perpetrator. He's described as being aged between about 20 to 25 years of age, 5'8" in height, a stocky build with an Irish accent and dark clothing. Now, of particular interest is the car that this person used. Now, it's described as a small Volkswagen car, black in colour, with a distinctive aerial on top, a large aerial to the rear of the roof of the car. So there may be motorists in the area of the Rathangan village at that time, at 5:30 p.m. on last Thursday, who might have, again, dash cam footage or might have seen this car, seen what direction it was going in. And we'd be very interested to hear from them, please.
Okay, sticking with Rathangan, over the bank holiday weekend, Ralph, here, it's estimated to have taken place. There's no exact time, but from the 4th, which was the Saturday, to Tuesday, the 7th of June, there was an incident of burglary at Ard School, Rathegon, the secondary school.
That's right, yeah. Unfortunately, we can't be very specific with the time that this took place. But like you said, over the bank holiday weekend, one of the buildings in the school was broken into. Thankfully, there was nothing taken in the incident. And unfortunately, we don't have any description of the culprits involved. But if anyone noticed any suspicious people or any suspicious vehicles around the school over the weekend, if they could contact us at Rathangan Garda Station.
Criminal damage then, Ralph, it occurred at Round Towers GAA Club.
Yeah, this is last Thursday to the afternoon of last Friday, that evening night, between 2 p.m. last Thursday to 12 p.m. Last Friday. There was damage caused to the mechanism securing the goalpost on the GAA pitch in the club, with a lock and a chain broken. Now, we've no CCTV of the incident and no witness so far, so we don't have a description to give out. But if there was anyone who noticed anything suspicious during those times around the GAA club in Round Towers, we'd be delighted to hear from them.
We're heading now north of the county at the National University in Maynooth. There was an incident of a theft of tools.
Yeah, a very high amount of tools. Again, the over the bank holiday weekend, we can't be any more specific than that. There were containers broken into on a building site in the NUI Maynooth, and a large quantity of tools taken. Again, unfortunately, no description of the culprits involved or any vehicles involved, but there's a large amount of tools, especially DeWalt tools, that brand of various types, drill bits, jigsaws, angle grinders, and also a Bosch Kangoo hammer and a Hitachi saw. So a large number of things. We're obviously appealing to anyone who might have witnessed something unusual or suspicious in the area over that weekend. But also, if you're offered second-hand tools matching these brands, these descriptions, or see them advertised, just be cognizant of that.
Okay, and just to remind people, the local station there to get in contact with, if you have any information, 01-629-1444. And on kfmradio.com in the next few minutes, we will have all the numbers to contact in terms of those incidents that have happened over the past week. Finally, Ralph, just before you go, a terrible, terrible bank holiday weekend in terms of road fatalities. 78 people so far this year have died on Irish roads, and we know the weekend in itself had many, I believe 8 people died.
That's right. Just to I suppose appeal to people briefly before I go, to appeal to people, please slow down, to bring down the rate of fatalities on our roads so far this year. If motorists just reduce their speed by 5%, we can reduce road deaths by 30%. So that's a very stark statistic, and it's a very simple thing to do, just for people to just slow down just a little bit. Please slow down.
That's amazing. So a stat there, if you reduce your speed by 5%, the possibility of reducing road deaths by 30%. Thank you very much for joining me this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. That is Sergeant Ralph Holmes of Athy Garda Station.
Thank you, sir.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park Nace, PSA licensed, 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.
Okay then, it's time for the birthday girl, but I'll give you those numbers for AA Al-Anon, Coonwira and Problem Gambling maybe before we finish. We might have time to have Ciara back to talk about Focus this afternoon. But first of all, I want to say a very good morning to Liz Barrett. Liz, how are you?
Not too bad at all, Clem. Thank you very much.
It's a very special day, Liz.
Very, very special. We're on 3 years ago, for little did I think that we'd still be here 3 years later, but thank God we are.
I can't believe that it's 3 years since I spoke to the young one.
It is 3 years, and she's no older looking than she was 3 years ago.
You are the daughter of the famous Nan Ward, who celebrates her 103rd birthday today.
I am indeed. I'm proud to be so.
I'm not even going to ask you. She must be nearly 90, are you?
Oh, no, come on now. Come on. I'm minding her all right, but it's a privilege to do so.
And we're going to talk with the very special lady in a moment. You're over in Dunlavin.
We're in Killinane, Dunlavin. It was between Kilcullen and Dunlavin.
Right, so you're both Kildare and Wicklow, we'll call you. Or are you, would you call...
Oh, no, we're the Lilies. We're not very proud of them at the minute, but we're our Kildare.
Yeah, you're very, very proud Lilies. And is Nan in the a nursing home, or is she at home with you?
Oh, gosh, at all. Nan is at home, able to get up, dress herself, go to the toilet, do everything on, dress herself, get up.
I'll go away.
Yes.
You're telling me she's doing all that by herself?
She is.
Okay, put on the speaker there, will you?
Now, she mightn't hear you great, but I'll answer with you if she's able to hear you.
Right, put on the speaker first.
Yeah, right, I have the speaker on.
Now, okay. Good morning, Nan Ward.
Good morning.
Listen, I have a little song for you. Hang on there a minute. Have a listen to this.
Happy birthday, darling. May all your dreams come true. Every wish be granted. Happy birthday to you. We've seen the years go by in the twinkling of an eye. There's been happy times and sad. There's been good for all the bad. But for all that's been and gone, all the laughter, tears and song, for memories old and new, that we make this toast to you. Happy birthday, darling, on the special day. Let's share this moment, raise a glass and say,
happy birthday, darling Nan Ward.
Thank you very much.
You're 103 today, Nan.
That's right.
Listen, I spoke to you 3 years ago. It's quite remarkable how time passes. And you're you're still going strong, Nan.
I am good. I have good stuff, except for deafness and third death.
You're not deaf at all. Don't worry about that. And then, what's the secret of living to 103 years?
Well, working very hard. I never smoked, only with the free man cigarettes and another hot whiskey.
You never smoked?
No, only with the free man.
And tell me, did you ever have a few drinks?
Beg your pardon?
Did you ever have a drop of whiskey?
I'd have the hot whiskey.
You'd have the hot whiskey?
Yes.
And Nan, tell me, 103, what year did you get married at?
Beg your pardon?
Or what age were you when you got married?
I was 23.
23? What was your husband's name?
Thomas.
Thomas.
Yes.
A fine man. And
yes, and a small bit of land. I worked hard in that too, where I lived.
You were a bit of a farmer, Nan, were you?
Yes, a mushroom one.
And all right. And do you still live at home in your own house?
Pardon?
You still live at home in your own...
Oh, yes, I'm still there, yes, still there.
And you're able to get up and about yourself?
I'm up in the morning and I'm for 8:30.
By 8:30, and what do you do?
Yes. I just look into my chair and fall asleep again.
You fall asleep again?
Yes.
And how is the health, Nan? Are you in good health?
I'm in good health, yes, indeed I am. Yes, I can. Oh, yes, but then I have a caretaker now at the minute. I get help now.
But sure, you need an old bit of a caretaker at 103 anyway. Look at.
Yes, I'm glad to say that I live that minute, anyhow. Even though times are bad. They're better than they are now.
Times were tough growing up, Nan, were they?
Pardon?
Times were very tough when you were young.
They were very tough. Oh, God, yes, indeed, yes. To go to school, running along the rough road and everything like that.
Yeah.
Most of our times in our bare feet.